Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Screw Loose Auto. I'm your host, Rusty Nuts. This far and away is the coolest thing I've ever gotten to do with an hour of my time on a weeknight.
I had to go to the hospital for them to basically cream my back.
Sorry for urinating in your ear. I love cars. I love what this is about, being a veteran myself. Wow. We just lost half our listeners, bro, and we're not even live yet. That has got to go in my intro, dude. We have to hear that every single week. You know what, bro? They wouldn't have a minimum standard if the minimum standard wasn't good enough.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Screw Loose on DV Radio WDVR. I'm your host, Rusty Nuts. Tonight, back again, we got Captain Obvious feeding the tiny little sex trophy that he's got over there. And we also have Mr. Brian Fennell with us tonight. Introduce yourselves, gents.
Howdy. This is Brian.
Captain, did you just barf into your mic there, or was that somebody else?
I don't know. He's drinking a bottle, so it's hard to tell if he's barfing or drinking, or I'm not really sure what's happening right now. I don't know if you can hear that.
Gentlemen, how are we doing this evening?
Doing good. Splendid. Splendid.
Outstanding.
Took me a little bit to get into the app figured out here, but Crayons has got it figured out kind of now.
Yeah, bro, no big deal. 42 minutes late, whatever.
You're rocking and rolling here, man. We're recording. I think I saw you shirtless drinking a Mick Ultra, so we're obviously doing good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I was going to wear my shirt, but I went when I went hit my video button, I made sure I de-shirted just for y'all.
Did you just make up a word there? De-shirted?
My God, man. Sure
it's in the dictionary.
I tell you what, we're going to be de-shirted with overalls at MSR Houston, so keep playing. When there's 15 of us running around in overalls and no shirt.
That's be awesome.
Bro, that's my wardrobe.
That is my absolute intention for that event, is to purchase overalls for everybody, and that's what we are wearing on Saturday.
I looked for an overall style fire suit and could not find one. When I came to race with you guys first, dude, I tried finding a set of overalls, but it was no dice. So
that would have been pretty awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how well that would go if I decided.
I mean, probably can get one custom made. You know what I mean? If the pros can do it, why don't you just see if someone would do a deal and get one with the overalls printed on it.
Yeah. I'm not at the point yet in my career and in my path to order anything custom made. So I'm pretty much just going to have to roll with what comes off the shelf, bruh.
I mean, okay. I was rooting for you there. I'll still root for you no matter what.
So, hey, check this out. I got to say this real quick. Did you guys see where we were invited? I say we as in Hard Luck Auto, the shop that has made me so incredibly famous over the last 3 years. Where we got invited to go build rat rods, dude?
No, I think you and I talked about it offline, but I don't remember seeing anything.
No, I didn't know that.
Okay, listen, there's another 501c out there. It's called Wrenching for the Future. And these guys, what these guys do is they're all the dudes from Rat Rod Magazine, the guys that built rat rods. These guys have been doing it for years. And a couple of these dudes got together and decided to start a 501c3, a nonprofit, where what they do is they travel to all the different trade schools, shop classes, vo-techs, stuff like that across the country. And for a week, you know, there's a shit ton of prior planning that gets involved here. But for a week, they build a rat rod with this group of kids or vo-tech or whatever. And then at the end of the week, they raffle it off and give the proceeds to that program.
Nice.
So these,
dang, that's awesome.
Dude, so, you know, like I said, there's a lot of prior planning that goes into this. You know, you find a sponsor, you find somebody that's going to give you a car. Of course, with Napa, those guys, I've already spoken with Head Cheese at Napa, and these guys are behind it 100%. So wherever these guys go, the closest Napa to them is going to give them a free $500 gift package. The first $500 in parts is going to be free. And then they're going to sell the rest of the parts at cost, along with like a package for each kid that was involved, like a little tool kit or a set of sockets and wrenches and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
Dude. So
that's awesome.
Once all this COVID shit decides to stop being so political, they'll open schools and shit back up and we can actually get going on this. I was supposed to be at one in 2 weeks from now in St. Louis, and it got canceled, of course, because of all the stuff that's going on. But yeah, these guys are, it's called Wrenching for the Future, and they are super cool cats and invited us all. You know, I don't have any real ability, dude. I'm just a jackass that was fixing people's shit for free. But these dudes have all like walked the walk and built cars. And because I'm a jackass, I can go live and I got the gift of gab. I think they invited me on so that I could try to help them out here, you know?
That's pretty awesome, especially with the kids deal, you know, the trade job like automotive and keeping the kids interested. It's nice because, you know, being in the industry, we have a huge industry shortage of techs and interested young people. And that sounds like an awesome program to keep these guys active.
So while you got the mic, brother, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you and Czech know each other, and kind of introduce you to our listeners here so they know why you're on.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. So my name is Brian Pinnell. I own and operate a small automotive repair shop down just south of Austin, Texas. As any gearhead, I've been into hot rods and race cars. And that's kind of via that path is how I got hooked up with Brian. I'd helped a feller up with a Pinto wagon that was racing Lemons, and got his car running for him. He contacted me because of a 2.3 platform, which is a whole nother endeavor that I'm off into on the Ford 2.3 stuff. But he called me, I got him running. He finished his first race and then actually went and raced with USMC Racing. And in fact, at the time, it wasn't even USMC Racing yet. But
yeah, not what it is now. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just, I was like, it's infancy, you know? And I think that was Road Atlanta that Tom come and raced with y'all. And he had called me because y'all were having a couple problems with Chesty. He was being a little bit stubborn. And so I tried to help as best I could over the phone. And anyways, that was my introduction to Brian. And I think the next race was at Barber. And I showed up to that. And, man, that's where, you know, face-to-face met Brian. And we were like peas and carrots ever since. So,
heck, yeah.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well that way.
That's a pretty southern way of saying we're friends now.
It is. Yes, it's.
We've been peas and carrots ever since.
Peas and carrots.
Nope.
Go together like cocaine and waffles.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
It does. So, it's kind of been a reoccurring theme here on the show. I think, Mr. Drugs? Captain. Drugs are a reoccurring thing?
I don't know. We talk about edibles, I think, every time so far. So I was just jumping to a conclusion. Sorry.
Well, since you brought it up. No. What I was going to say, the reoccurring theme is you, sir, Mr. Captain Obvious. I think we're probably going to keep you around. I'll have to insult the board of directors for Screw Loose Radio here and see how they feel about that. But I think we'll be cool.
Or with much likeness.
Yeah. So
Captain Obvious, how did that handle come about?
Because this douchebag just pinned Captain on for no reason.
Very well.
They just, you know, they came down to the promotion of this and like, fuck, we got one extra. Grab that guy walking over there, that one officer, grab him.
That's probably accurate.
Fall in here, man. Captain.
Yeah. That wouldn't surprise me.
So what I was saying was, you, Mr. Check, are a, yeah. I think we're probably going to, this will be a togetherness endeavor to go and sound a little less bro huggish. I think next week, let's try to get the Wrenching for the Future guys on. I kind of prefaced that, started this episode to let you guys know that I'm going to reach out to Roger and Nick with Wrenching for the Future and try to get those guys on next episode. As we are recording, know that the fucking words that come out of that hole that's in the front of your head will also be recorded as well. So if it's in the chat, it more than likely wasn't necessarily meant to be spoken out on the radio. I'm going to go let my dogs in. I'm going to go let my dogs in. Fill 30 seconds.
And that 30 was seconds of us laughing at Adam.
I'm not good at this. Oh, man.
Talk amongst yourselves.
I don't.
Hey, so talk amongst ourselves. So I got those rotors in, Brian, and I think I'm pretty sure that one rotor, they're both are almost they're the exact same diameter. But one of them is a smidge thicker than the other.
What?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Rotors? God, don't be weird.
It's rotor
talk. Well, that's what happens when you're around the Army, guys. Ours are just a smidge thicker than yours.
Yeah. Ooh.
What rotors are we talking about? Front and rear?
For the VIX. So we've been having a problem. Thanks, Brian. Crayons' diagnoses with heat fracturing. So Crayons, if I screw anything up, interrupt. But so we've been having an issue with overheating on the rotors. So they've been fracturing, and I think it's kind of a number of things. One, we don't have enough airflow to them. The other thing is the rotor outlets should probably not be so close to the inside of the wheel, and they are extremely close. So the air can't really free flow out as probably good as it could, because there is maybe a quarter inch, half inch gap, if that, probably 3/8 gap between the top of the rotor and the inside of the wheel. So a very minimum clearance, and we're not getting the heat exchange that we need. So I did a whole bunch of searching and found a really good company that they sounded great. It was really good reviews. And I bought them, and I think, and this is typical me, I think maybe it was me, may have bought the wrong rotors for the front end of ladder 3. I definitely got the right rotors for the front end of Chesty, not for ladder 3, because we use the GT500 rotors, which are the 14 inch rotors. I got two 13 inch rotors. So yeah.
Dumbass. Yeah, negative. That ain't gonna work.
No. Well, at least it wasn't as bad as ordering 12 tires that were the wrong size.
I know.
He put that on show out on Facebook, bro.
Yeah, that sucked. That was embarrassing. When Crayons told me that, I nearly died. I was like, "What? No, they're not."
How the fuck are you calling him Crayons, bro?
Because that way it's not confusing when you say Brian and I say Brian.
Oh, no. If I say Brian, it's because I'm talking to Fennel.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because
you're
we're
doing Captain Obvious.
We're doing the aliases. I like it.
Speaking of aliases, I would love it if my listeners went over to www.hardluckauto.org and left us some comments on our Facebook, ordered a T-shirt, and then searched for Hard Luck Automotive Services on Facebook, so that the wonderful people at DV Radio, WDVR, can get all these followers all wrangled into the same place, so you guys know exactly where to chime in and where to tune in every single time this little hour nugget of gold is played.
You're gold.
Gold?
Super.
Gold.
I hear flat gold better. Gold?
Gold?
The fuck you talking about, JG? This shit is gold, dude. I had a guy. Listen, dude. Yeah. Like with that Pakistani, like 4-karat gold.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. If you scrape it with your fingernail, like there's some brown shit underneath. It's not even metal.
It definitely turns your shit green. I got a phone call yesterday from a Marine. If I'm fucking lying, I'm dying, dude. I got a phone call from a Marine who was driving through Oklahoma City, had not yet made it. He was in Tulsa. And he said, dude, I've been following everything that you're doing on Facebook. This shit is amazing, bro. We want to order some t-shirts. Are you going to be at the shop when we come through? And it was already 5:00. And I was like, dude, you want me to hang out at the shop till 7:30 so that you can take a picture with me? So I tell him, I'm like, hey, how about I send you some t-shirts and we call it a cool trade. This dude asked me to sign his t-shirts, bro.
Oh, snap. That's awesome.
Well,
that's
what I put. He didn't ask you to sign his tits.
Well, are you going to like.
I think I would be less put off by the titty signature than I would a dude asking for my signature. I'm hoping that it's for his wife. But
yeah, but you could do all sorts of signatures. You could like dip your nuts like in black ink. Like you could just take this. I mean, he's a Marine, bro. You could do all sort of weird shit.
Just, yeah, we're down for anything. So.
Just blow a snot rocket on there and sign my name in it.
There you go.
I was thinking more like you like a dick image, but whatever. Yeah, maybe, sure. Sure.
So you're saying
you've heard of Sky just, Penis. Rusty Nuts signs with shirt penis.
Just to clarify here, Captain.
Yes.
You would prefer my genitals over my mucus. You would rather it be my testicles than the air around us in my nostril. That happened to have some contaminants and is now a harder chunk of air that is around us. Essentially a dirt clod. You'd prefer to have my fuzzy nuts than a booger.
I just got this image of like on Thursday afternoons, I have to teabag t-shirts.
It's you know, how, like especially. Stamps, it's the like stamps a, have the little special. Blotter.
No, it's a special hidden menu like with In-N-Out. You know, you don't really know about it. So you got to search around the page for that special drop down that has like nut stamp, you know, all this weird shit.
And the only time you can see it is under black light.
Oh, man. Oh.
Yeah.
It gets worse and worse.
Or maybe it's better and better. It depends on, you know, eye of the beholder, really.
Yeah. All I can picture is like the Dumb and Dumber scene where he's like, that IOU, that's a Lamborghini. You're going to want to have to hold on to that one. Just don't wash that shirt. It's all original. You're going to want to hold on to that one.
Yep.
Oh, God. These ideas are going places.
I agree. I think this is phenomenal.
This is great shit.
This is. And that should go in the intro, too.
Dude, the intro's done, bro.
No, you need more than just the one thing that I said that I got creamed on my back. Okay? We need more than that.
Crayons, have you heard this yet? Have you heard the intro that we've got?
No, I haven't. I was trying to figure out internets at the time.
Okay, so, JJ, if I send you the link, can you play it live for us on here?
No, have some goldfish. No. Have some goldfish instead.
I don't know. I've never tried it. I mean, I don't know.
You know what? Fuck it. I can do it just like this. This is how technology works. Are we ready, guys?
Go ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Screw Loose Auto. I'm your host, Rusty Nuts. This
far and away is the coolest thing I've ever gotten to do with an hour of my time on a weeknight.
I had to go to the hospital for them to, like, basically cream my back.
Sorry for urinating in your ear. I love cars. I love what this is about, being a veteran myself. Wow. We just lost half our listeners, bro, and we're not even live yet. That has got to go in my intro, dude. We have to hear that every single week. You know what, bro? They wouldn't have a minimum standard if the minimum standard wasn't good enough.
Oh, I love it.
That was excellent. I essentially had to go to the hospital so they could cream my back.
Yes. It came out wrong, okay?
No, it came out exactly came out right.
Yeah, that's right.
It came out exactly as the gods wanted it, sir.
I think there have been other gold nugget moments that should go in there, like quick cuts, like of like a thing that was said, and then, you know, and then of course your laughter has to be in there at the end. For sure.
We're staying with your creamy back for right now. Maybe if we get a little more famous, we won't.
I'm not saying remove that. Leave that. But I mean, like, you know, there's got to be some other funny ass shit that we've said over the last like three episodes that can totally
eclipse creaming your back.
Like swimwear.
Other than stinky.
No. That needs to take the forefront. You know what I mean? Don't change that. I'm just saying, like, it's some additions.
I think I dropped stinky pinky in my second episode, and I was kind of disappointed that didn't make it on there.
JJ, what are you doing over there, man?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to breathe still, laughing. The mushroom stamp on the t-shirts got me. I'm like, fuck.
Bro, that needs to be in the intro. Seriously. Like, that has got to be in there.
I don't think any part of me discussing my genitals should be on the intro. I already referenced urinating in your ear.
I mean... That's like a medical thing. Sorry,
urinating in somebody's ear is a medical thing.
I mean, it might be.
Well, peeing on their leg is if they got stung by a jellyfish.
Yeah, a little man of war thing. Their treatment. Yeah.
Does that actually work?
I don't know.
I've heard it does actually. I've never tried it. You try to pee on leg, you're gonna stumble away. That's all I'm saying.
The pH difference is what works with that, but haven't tried it.
we should try to figure this out when we're together.
I mean, I'm close to the post, so I can go get stung and give it a shot.
Dude, I will for science. I will gladly urinate on your leg just to see if that works.
Yeah.
You know what? We don't need to do a car show. We need to do a biology show where we test out how different people react to getting their legs urinated on after getting stung by that thing.
It's correct. Science, folks. It's science.
Well, if it works well, then we can work on the cars sooner and not have to worry about recovery as much. So it's kind of car related.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it.
Problem, can't work with it.
I'm sorry. My dogs are dicks.
That's a huge dog, it sounds like.
No, can you see if he needs his pass or something?
All right, guys. I'm going to go slap my dogs around. Let's take 5 minutes. Let's hear from our sponsors here at DV Radio, and we'll be right back with Screw Loose Off.
DV Radio.
Are you looking for veteran resources and peer support? Objective Zero has an app for that. Download the Objective Zero app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Access wellness resources like yoga and a free year subscription to Headspace, the world's most popular meditation app. Check out veterans resources and access our nationwide network of peer support. Speak to fellow women veterans or someone in your field and branch of service. You get to choose who you want to chat with. Learn more at www.objectivezero.org. That's www.objectivezero.org.
Have you pull-started your girlfriend's anal beads like a lawnmower?
Yeah!
Do you have sperm dripping from the wrong hole in your head?
Mm.
Screamed at for putting it in the wrong hole?
Yeah!
Maybe you need DV Radio sex ed classes. That's dvradio.net, the only place for the right way to have sex.
This is just a parody ad. Should not be taken seriously.
DV Radio. We're back on the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Screw Loose. This is your dashingly handsome host, Rusty Nuts. I promise you they're not as rusty as I lead on. We also have tonight with me, as always, my right-hand man, giving me left-hand knowledge, Captain Obvious. And JJ's hanging out in the back. And we have Mr. Brian Fennell on with us tonight, too. Brian, give us the elevator pitch, brother. What's your claim to fame?
Oh, claim to fame? I don't think there's one there, is there?
Dude, listen. You and I have only met on one occasion, and it was at a Lemons race in Houston
last year.
And I already know, one, you're a small business owner.
True.
You're a veteran.
True.
You have a four-cylinder car that does wheelies.
Yeah, I keep talking. You're making me feel good.
And you're one of the chairmen for USMC Racing, making sure that all of these guys, these veterans and first responders, combat vets, guys suffering from PTSD. I keep saying guys, people suffering from PTSD. And you are very much one of the pillars of USMC Racing. Is that right?
That's correct. Very deeply involved now. It's been a wonderful journey with USMC Racing. I enjoy every bit of it. And watching the guys and gals after the race is the ultimate payoff for all the work we put into it. It's actually phenomenal.
This last race you guys went to, man, it looks like you got some badass folks out there and you got some badass pictures of it happening, dude. Those pictures, like, look professional in how they were taken. And the action shot is like – what car guys want to see. They don't want to, you know, it was perfect. It looked way, the pictures were awesome, dude.
Yeah, it worked out. So obviously those weren't my pictures cause they were good. someone took some really good pics and we stole a lot of that since they let us. And hey, we also,
pitch them. You know, we did that. Who was it?
Actually we got it from a couple sources. I need to go back and look cause I'm terrible with names, but there was a photographer out at Champ Car taking a lot of pictures, and he put up several of those that we've used on our Facebook page from his Flickr account. So,
well, how about when this drops, man? We make sure we give him a shout out and in the comments for this episode, let's make sure we tag him in that.
Yeah, absolutely, because you know they don't have to release those photos for us to use, so. That's super awesome on their part,
yeah, especially absolutely.
For a program like what we're running.
Hell yeah. Yeah. And speaking of giving a shout out, I need to give a special shout out to the man that I love closest to my heart. The guy that runs Twisted Oliver Barbecue, Mr. Bobby Oliver. That dude is right now sponsored by Cosmos, Rubs and Barbecue.
Just
got picked up by Cosmos, sponsored by him. He's on the steak cooking tour. He's not doing barbecue. He's cooking steaks. And wow. Twisted Oliver Barbecue supplied the microphones that we're making the show on tonight. So huge shout out to my bro. He took what criticism we had for that first episode and ran with it. And now we've got professional shit. So thank you, Bobby Oliver.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
So talk to us about this four-cylinder car, man. What on earth makes a car guy want to take an old fucking Iron Duke and stroke it out to like a million horsepower?
Yeah. So the story, I bought this car back in the day when I still worked for Saturn, and it was a trade-in, and it was a little four-cylinder car, a whopping 105 horsepower. At the time I was driving a 78 Trans Am that got like 3 miles to the gallon. And anyway, so I bought the car. It was cheap and on intentions of, you know, typical notchback Mustang platform, you know, play with it, make something fast out of it one day. And the little 2.3 was getting like 35 miles to the gallon. And so I parked the Trans Am and enjoyed the fuel mileage for quite a while. and it kind of snowballed. And I think
gay.
Right? Well, that was the start of it, you know.
And I parked the horsepower so I can enjoy the fuel mileage of my four-cylinder economy Mustang. Well, and I bet your husband loved the fact that it was going easy on your checking account too, didn't he?
He did. He divorced me.
I did.
The when Fast and Furious dropped, though, you know what, 2001 or something? Every Honda with a fart can come out there and just beat up on that car. You know, all 105 horsepower. The little Civics were just killing me. And I swapped in a 1988 Thunderbird turbo coupe engine from a junkyard. That setup ended up going like 13.8 at 101 in the quarter mile, which wasn't bad for a junkyard setup with like $600 in it. 2005, I'd hurt that motor and it kind of snowballed from there. You know, I was like, oh, I'm just going to do a couple upgrades, maybe a 6-point roll bar. And it turned into the monster it is now. We're actually on a final build on it kind of right now of what I've always wanted to do with it. You know, it's back half, almost fully tube chassis car now. We just bought a Garrett GTX, a Gen 2 GTX 5009R model turbo for it. So that's an 80 millimeter, supports about 1,750 horsepower. Our goal with the car is 1,600 horsepower, breathing a little methanol and nitrous.
We're going to clarify here. This is 1,600 horsepower out of a four-cylinder car.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so the best part he didn't say was that he needs the spray just to get up on the two-step because the turbo is too big for the block.
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite part.
That is correct. So if I was a manual transmission, I could – put it on a two-step, you know, neutral or clutch in and do a boost builder application type scenario. But I'm an automatic. I run a Paraglide in it. So, yeah, with a whopping 143 cubic inches I am, it needs a little bit of nitrous oxide assist to get enough exhaust volume to get the turbo rocking.
So what you're saying is you make 1,000 horsepower per 100 cc's.
That's
or cubic inches, rather.
Full tilt. Yeah, it's pretty. We're asking a lot of it. It's so with once we this setup, so we've made 1200 out of it with a smaller T4 turbo. This setup, once we make power and get that, you know, get to full boogie woogie, this should be the. I don't know. You know, I can't find any solid times, but it should be the quickest Ford four-cylinder door slammer that I know of. I don't know of any others. There's got to be one out there, but I don't think, you know, we should, if we make 1600 horsepower, the car weighs about 2,400 pounds with me in it. That's about a 680 pass if we make a good pass with that.
So this one time when I was 16, dude, I had a Mercury Marquis that was a V6.
Yes.
The little midsize Marquis and, you know, and I flipped the air cleaner lid over and capped the rear brake lines and cut the exhaust off. And then I turned that into a race car.
Well, your own.
So where I'm going with that is I have not done a lot of cool shit with cars, but I have been so fortunate to run into guys like you who are doing shit that car guys dream about doing. You know, you guys took a couple busted Crown Vics and now you're fucking racing them at Lemons and Champ Car and you're doing your best to give that away to veterans and first responders. Huge bonus for that's car shit, right? And then while you're doing that, under the car cover in the stall next to it is this fucking fire breathing 1,600 horsepower four cylinder that will just You're making the claim that you don't know of a faster car. Not a lot of car guys can say, listen, dude, for what it is, it's the fastest fucking thing you've ever heard of.
I'm trying to imagine what that little thing sounds like screaming down the strip.
Man, so you can find it on YouTube. The car name is a Texas Grunt. is, okay. You know, we got to have a name for a car. So it's called Texas Grown. If you search that, it'll come up.
I'm going to search it because I just want to hear that. I just want to hear it scream.
Yeah. At Idol, it's pretty radical. Just because.
Just because. It's 143 cubic inches and it's making 1,400 horsepower. That's your criticism? At Idol, it's kind of radical. For fuck's sake, how is it not sucking small children in and turning them into fucking particles?
Well, I can't guarantee that won't happen.
Like, just ripping clothes off of women as it walks by. And they smile and wave and just keep fucking walking.
That's right.
That's good.
You know, like, you know what? You earned that. Here's a shot of my ass. I'm going to keep going.
I like that. Yeah,
There's perks to sucking so much air out of the atmosphere.
Gets other people perk, too.
There are perks to sucking that much air out of the atmosphere. That is not going to go away.
Perk sucking is now a new
thing. Oh my God. You guys, dude, you guys are going to make me a fucking millionaire off the dumb shit that we're going to take out of context on this radio show. I'm signing my name to it tonight.
Oh, well.
I like it.
When you make it, I'll need a nice sponsor for that little four cylinder.
Dude, we're all going to the top, bro. I said make me. I mean, I make us. Make us all a millionaire.
Right. Hell yeah.
JJ, you're along for the ride, bro. I'm bringing Boner with us.
I'm going to suck the hell out of them perks.
Oh, fuck. Oh. So let's try to get back on track, because if people don't want to listen to us give each other blowjobs. Brian, how long were you in the Marine Corps, bro?
I did a 6-year reserve contract.
Okay. Did you deploy?
Nope. So our unit activated in 2003 for the Operation Iraqi Freedom. I had everything turned into supply for IRR, and we got hit with the stop loss. And so my unit, our second section of TOWS got activated. Went to 29 Palms for a 25-day workup and got attached to 1st Marines and shipped out. We were supposed to be falling within, you know, a week or two, and there was no opposition in the like there was in the first war. So
right,
our other sections never left.
Good. I'm glad, bro.
So my middle son Dylan was just born that January. So it was kind of a blessing, but it felt weird too, because it felt like I was on the sidelines, you know, and I should be in the football game. Like I was a starter, but not starting.
No fucking way, man. No fucking way. Listen, dude, my stepdad is a retired major. Okay. And he was, you know, it was a Huey pilot while he was commissioned. And he kind of followed like you, Chuck. My dad was enlisted first. And then he went warrant officer for a few years. And then he was meritoriously promoted and done the whole, like you did, and took over a unit. And he has said those words to me. He's like, man, he did 26 years. He was passed over for light colonel the first time and was like, you know what? I'm not going to sit around and be forced out. I'm going to go out on my own terms. So he felt like he never got to deploy and he never got to do that part of it. And for me, I'm so glad that somebody that I love didn't have to go through it. You know, like we as big dick veterans here kind of like to say, oh, did you deploy, bro? Oh yeah. 3 times here, 5 times there, 17 fucking times or whatever. Real talk. I'm glad. I hope less people have to deploy, because it's fucking bullshit, dude.
No, that makes sense. You know, it's.
You know, I think
the older you get.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I think, you know, I honestly think it's just in the eye of the beholder. Like, looking back on my deployments, I mean, I think it really depends on your units and who you go with. I loved it. I certainly didn't like it my second time as much, because I was then married. My wife was pregnant with our first child. We didn't even know what we were having yet. I mean, we found out we were pregnant, and like 2 weeks later I left. So, you know, my second deployment certainly wasn't as fun as my first. But I mean, if you think about it, like, you my, you know, you go to Afghanistan at really as just about anybody, as long as you're not on like Bagram or some other like massive base where you're basically on Bragg or Lejeune, it's, you can just be whoever you want to be. You know what I mean? Your gym hours or whatever you want it to be. You know, you, yeah. It's just like, it's,
no, I get it's that. Just, yeah. If you're anywhere, you know, the flagpole's at, you're probably going to be more restricted.
But exactly. Yeah.
If you were a FOBIT, then yeah, you got to kind of do whatever the fuck you wanted. You know, war dictated when you showered and when you went to the gym and all that other shit. It wasn't the fucking trumpet or the flag going up and down, you know?
Yeah. My deployments were awesome. And I think for me, I think it was just mostly because of the unit I was at. I happened to be at MARSOC at the time as an enabler. So I wasn't going out, you know, trigger pulling or none of that. Shut up.
I was still that one time I was MARSOC.
I was.
Excuse me, don't trip on my dick.
Years. Hey, I emphasize I was an enabler, okay? I didn't say I was out there kicking in doors. I never wanted to do any of that anyway. But because I like my job, okay? Can't turn over kicking in doors. In the
I was
world.
Just proud like, to be there, and I never really wanted to be a door kicker anyway. So I was proud to just be there and support.
That's not transferable. You go to Dell, and they're like, "Hey, what did you do in the Marine Corps?" Kicked in doors.
I fucking murdered people. Okay. That, you know what? That's the best bullet you can have on a resume, bro.
That also does not.
I was paid to murder people. I would like a job with your corporation selling fucking fax machines. You don't need to list your education at that point. You just say, "Listen, motherfucker, just know I went to school. When do I start?"
That's right. What a murder you say.
So what were you doing at MARSOC?
Oh, it's the same thing I was doing, really doing now, just embarkation. But the point is like, you know, with us over there, you know, we were on our own little compound all the way out there in the middle of nowhere by ourselves. I was the money guy my second time. So we were getting $30,000 a month to basically do with whatever we saw fit. So
we called it
buying Red Bulls.
Yeah, we called it foo money.
Oh, yeah, dude, it was great. And I was able to do whatever I wanted. We got, we ended up getting a second griddle in the chow hall so we could, if you wanted to make eggs at any time of the day, I mean, it was great, you know? So my opinion is a little bit skewed because of how awesome I thought my deployments were. But yeah, for someone who goes to like Kandahar or Bagram or Bastion, or whatever big bases were in Iraq, I didn't do Iraq, but I can kind of get it where people get over there and they're disenfranchised and they get back and they're like, "What the fuck did I just do all that for?"
I mean, get it.
Go ahead, Fennel.
That was me.
Oh.
I don't think it was.
Are you pleasuring yourself? If you bro, just make sure you hit mute.
With a frosty. Sorry. Yeah, I'll hit mute next time.
I learned that the hard way while I was in Afghanistan. Is it noise canceling headphones only cancel the noise for you? If you're in a tent with 70 other fucking people, they're not noise canceled. So while you're like, "Ha! Woo! Yeah!" they can all hear you.
Yeah. Just because you're under your whoobie doesn't mean they can't hear what you're doing. Or
see. May he rest in peace. No shit. Brian Brewster. This dude, this is the guy that we lost him in an aircraft crash along with five other dudes in Afghanistan.
Oh, wow.
It was May 5th, 2006. And they went up on the side of a mountain to rescue some Cav guys. And the Cav dudes had made a fire on the ledge below them. And they hovered the helicopter over the edge, you know, big Chinook, big flying school bus. They did a pinnacle landing and the rotor wash was kicking the embers up and they were all under night vision. So the pilots had to pull pitch and they said, "Hey, we're not going to be able to land here. We won't be able to distinguish between the rotor wash from your fire and incoming rounds." So they moved them to this separate, you know, this second designated LZ and it wasn't cleared properly, and these guys ran into a tree line, and it was after they had already loaded four of the cav guys on the aircraft. So 10 Ooh. Souls perished that God. Day. My best friend, one of my best friends in the world, man, Brian Brewster, was a crew chief that night. And man. This dude, I tell you that to tell you this. I had the pleasure of deploying with this guy to Iraq in 2003, 2004 with the 101st Airborne Division. And this dude would always ask to sleep in the middle of the tent, the big fucking GP Larges, you know, the circus tents. Mm-hmm. And he had an old running shoe on about 50 feet of 550 cord and a 4-cell mag light. And he would lay in bed at night and wait for the somebody rubbing one out under a whoobie. And he would high beam them with that fucking mag light. And while they were stunned looking at his flashlight, he'd chuck the shoe at him and hit him in the face with it. And the other end would be tied to his ankle. And he'd just reel the shoe back in, shut the flashlight off, and wait for the next guy to start jacking off so he could throw a shoe at him.
Oh my God.
So you would be still like, it would, you'd be, lights would go off. You'd be like, now's the time. I'm going to be so quiet. And you think you're getting away with it, man. And 30 seconds before paperwork time, this motherfucker, you'd get a flashlight in the face and you'd totally stunned. You'd have literal deer in the headlights, and then you'd get hit in the fucking face with a shoe, and he would start laughing and everybody else would start laughing, and you'd go back to trying to finish.
Nice. Love it.
That messes up your concentration too much.
Mm-hmm. So we I don't know if you guys ever get carded people in your deployments. No? Silence? Okay.
Do what to people?
So, dick carded, right? So your friends came from other FOBs, you know, or other bases you haven't seen in a while. You always carried around a pack of Playgirl playing cards, right, with these just jacked, yoked, massive wee-wee dudes on the back of it. Right? And you always slipped it in, like, their camis or, like, their bag, something that they wouldn't be looking at absolutely immediately following, you know, saying, see you later, right? So you're talking, the guy gets back to his base, his room, his tent, and, like, takes his, you know, takes his flak off, and it's, like, you know, inside where his plates are or whatever, you know, or in his back house and whatever, right?
Yep.
So we were doing this to each other back and forth on my first deployment. And we got wind that General Amos, the commandant of the Marine Corps, and his wife, Betty, were coming over to see us. So, of course, you know, turn to everyone, shave your mustaches and everybody clean up and this, that, and the other. And we'd also gotten word that the wives were notified individually, which was kind of cool. That, you know, that Betty was coming. So, like, Betty actually, like, reached out to, like, my wife and, like, the others and whatever. And if there was anything that, like, she could bring, shut up. I wasn't a captain. I was just, like, a lowly sergeant. I don't know. Maybe I was a staff sergeant then. Yeah, I was a staff sergeant.
Is this when you're in MARSOC?
So this was my second deployment. Yes, stop it. Anyway. Stop. So, they come out there. And we were co-located with one of our MSOCs, one of the teams, who actually do all the trigger pulling and nonsense. And so they, you know, when they landed, they escorted them there to the headquarters, and we were showing them around. And then we followed them back, the headquarters team, we followed them back to the flight line that was like our own personal area. And we're all waving goodbye. And, you know, one of the team, and I didn't notice it then, but thinking back, I can see this playing out. One of the team guys is holding Betty Amos's Kevlar. And at the time, it didn't occur to me what he was doing with it. But it was just like, he's just holding it because he's nice. Yeah, guy, sure. Gives her the Kevlar. They get on the thing. I swear to God, as soon as that Osprey takes off, that entire team basically fell over laughing. And the rest of us were like, what the fuck is so funny? And through literal fucking tears, they're like, we dick carded Betty Amos in her Kevlar. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
That is incredible, dude.
And so at that point, we're all like, well, when is she going to notice? So then, of course, you know, rumors spread like wildfire. Our company commander finds out, Major Norris, pulls all of us in, you know, all of the lowly enlisted. God, he hated enlisted people. Pulled us all in, was like berating us and trying to figure out who did it. And so someone asked, well, did she find it? And then it was just like, oh here we go. And Major Norris was like, no, you stupid motherfucker. She hasn't found it yet. What do you think's going to happen when she does? And da-da-da-da. Oh, my God. Fucking hilarious. And so basically from that point on, no one was allowed to dick card anybody. There was like a standing order, like no dick cards, period.
I think no I'm going to have to I think I'm going to have to institute that when I meet people now.
No, no dick cards.
It's hilarious. Seriously, like grab their wallet, throw it in there, and they won't see that for like months. You know what I mean? Tucking behind like all the business cards that they never look at.
Yeah,
you
know? I got my business card in here somewhere. Oh, what is it?
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Classy.
Classy. All right, Crayons. Give me 30 seconds, man. What's in the future for what you got going on?
So we are currently getting cars ready for Colorado in September. We are I should also have the Texas Grunt drag car back out on the track by then. So I'll be looking for some updates from that. And I'll keep rocking my thing there at my shop. And Adam, I have to come up and see you sometime, and maybe we could do a little weekend deal and help some folks out.
Man, that would be way badass, dude. I'd love that, bro.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Captain Obvious.
I'm just excited to see you in November, man. I haven't been able to hug you in like a year. And it sucks.
Too long.
Too long.
Also, your laugh in person. And like I tell everybody, like his laugh is great, like on like the Mike Rowe show, and it's great on here. But I'm telling you, you've got to see that thing in person. Yes. That too. It's also rather large and enjoyable to hold. In an orifice or your hand. It just depends on how you're feeling that day. It's true, dude. Your laugh's infectious, man.
Okay. Like, and hey, but you guys both forgot to mention the Camaro. We're adding another race car to the stable.
Is it
We are.
Bitchin' Camaro?
It is.
Tell me about the Camaro.
It is a blue 1979 Camaro. Track built, purposely built. It's a fantastic car, and we were looking to expand anyways. And thanks to Brian running a fantastic show at COTA, it really showed him and myself and the rest of us on the board that like, okay, we can do three cars. This was a massive effing hit. We need to figure this out. And how are we going to get a third car? So the decision was. Or the question really was two. Do we find a car and we build it, or do we find a car that's already done and it's track tested and proven and we're not having to do anything, it's turnkey? Well, we just happened to find this Camaro like 3 days after we had this conversation. Reached out to the guy. The guy's like, hey, I like what you're doing. That sounds great. And I said, hey, can you give me like 8 or 9 days to fundraise? He said, yeah, sure. And lo and behold, we got the money. We got the car, and it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Just to clarify, we mentioned last week or the week prior, this is not the handicap capable car. This is another fully functional race car, right?
Correct. Yep. A Chevy 350 with a H pattern 4-speed. I don't know the name of it off the top of my head. 4 9-inch rear end. I mean, it's a fabulous car. Beautifully built. You can check it out on our Facebook page. We've got tons of pictures on it, and we're naming it the Wild Boar after the 230th unit out of the 10th Marine or 10th Mountain. I'm sorry.
Get your shit together.
I don't know what how 230 goes. So it's like 10th.
You said your Facebook page. What Facebook page would that be?
USMC Racing.
Okay.
And it's there. Tons of pictures. And you'll see it running around the track in November.
Hell yeah. JJ, anything before we punch out here, brother?
Well, the announcement will be made by the time this airs. I got to meet my new service dog prospect today, and she is absolutely gorgeous little English Mastiff. She'll probably top the scales at about 170 once she fills out.
Hell yes,
dude. And her, awesome. I got to tell you, I fell in love with her mama and daddy. Oh my God. Bonnie and Clyde. She's a brindle at about 170. And he was a little over 200 pounds of pure, sweet, gentle monster. He was unreal. And
that is so bitching, dude.
I'm like, you have no idea. It's like I'm going to have another child, you know? I'm a little past that age. But, oh, my God, I'm so excited about this. She'll come home right when this episode airs, and I'll be going through all that puppy shit again.
Right. That's so awesome, dude.
I am stoked. Her name's Kaya, and I'm just stoked.
Oh, cool.
I am stoked. We named her after a Valkyrie, one of the Valkyries.
Awesome. Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's legit.
I'm totally stoked. And she is good. I mean, we're going to put girly shit on her and everything. And she's going to be a 170 pound Mastiff with all this pink girly shit. And like, you know, Mastiffs, man. It's like, yeah, that is not dainty.
That's badass.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I just want to, I want to give a shout out, of course, DV Radio, WDVR for allowing us to do this. Giving us the platform to just sit around and scratch our nuts and talk shit to each other. Shout out to my bro Bobby Oliver. Thanks for the mics, dude. Make me feel like a big deal, and if you want to be treated like one, you got to live like one. Thanks, guys. That wraps us up.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
DV Radio.